stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Shiraz Mian, Zach's Director of Research, and he's here to discuss a topic that I really probably should have covered a long time ago on the podcast, and that's the Zacks Rank. I'm sure some of you have seen reference to the Zacks Rank, whether or not you were in an article on like Yahoo Finance, or you're on Stock Twits and someone will say, Zacks downgraded the stock to a sell today, or something along those lines, but you never really understood what that means or what they're talking about. So that's why Shiraz is here, because we're going to talk about what the rank is, the pros and cons of using it, how you can use it to help research stocks, and just everything about how the rank works. So first of all, Shiraz, I want to talk about what it is. And I think a lot of people think, because they see these recommendations and it says, you know, buy or sell, that there's some analyst sitting in some room somewhere, like at, you know, Goldman Sachs has that, where they're issuing these buys and sells on all these stocks. But that's not how the rank actually works. It's done by computer. Done by, like, you know, people sitting in the room. So I want to kind of start with that, because I also think people don't realize that the rank actually covers thousands of stocks, actually.
That's right.
And I did a screen today before we started this podcast just on screening for the number ones down to the five. So the Zacks rank does have five categories. It goes from 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, with 1 being the best. And 5 being the strong sells. And then you have 2 is a buy, 3 is the hold, and then 4 is just the regular sell.
That's right.
So, and it kind of goes in this like what you would consider like a curve, where the most of the stocks are in the number 3 hold. And I did the screen on that, and I found that just today when we're doing this podcast, 2,520 stocks were in the hold category.
That's right.
And then I screened for everything else. So the fewest number of stocks are in the number ones and the number fives. And today, the number one stocks, there were 231 of those. And number five, there were just 190 of those. That's the strong sells. So you can see, if you're in the number one, the strong buy, or the strong sell, it's kind of like, you know, that's a unique, more unique,
exclusive club.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then I also screened for the twos and the fours, which is the buy and the sells. And the number two buys, there were 680 of those. And the number four sells, there were 624 of those. So there was a grand total of 4,245 stocks.
Sure.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. You're 100% right. It's an entirely quantitative model, which means that it's not that there is a Zacks analyst covering a particular stock, sitting in his office and running a model. And at the end of that analysis, he or she comes out with a recommendation, as the Goldman Sachs or the Morgan Stanley analyst does. The extent of any analyst's involvement in the Zacks model, the Zacks rank, is that estimates from all the analysts, sell-side analysts, the analysts working at Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or all the regional brokers, we have relationships with all those brokers, and the estimates from all those analysts get into our model, and then we run our model every day. And based on that daily refresh, the model, based on its own criteria of how the estimates from those analysts have changed, it comes out with a list of strong buys, strong sells, buys and sells, and number threes. So it's a daily refresh process. No human is directly involved in the process. And that's one of the beauties of the model, that it's consistent, it's disciplined, and it's totally removed from the day-to-day human emotions that all of us as humans are vulnerable to.
Right, and that's why I get a lot of angry comments about the rank. because that's those true. Are the emotional comments saying that's like, right. This doesn't make sense to me. Either sometimes it's on the buy side or on the sell side. And we're going to give some examples of those a little bit later in the show here. But like, that's why people get angry at it, I feel, is because absolutely. They don't understand that it has removed the emotions.
That's right. There's a number of confusions about the rank, but a big contribution to those confusions is that when an investor thinks of a rating scheme, they have that human involvement factor that we discussed just before. And then they have those conventional stock picking tools that people associate with the rating schemes. There's the valuation and momentum and all those other factors. So sometimes we may have a Zacks rank number one for a stock that has a very high PE or price to book or any other valuation metric that people may be looking at. Or sometimes we may have a sell rating or a strong sell rating on a stock that seemingly is trading at a very cheap multiple. And they would say, why would somebody have a strong sell rating on it? And the reason for that is that the Zacks rating model, the Zacks rank, looks at only and only one factor. And that one factor is earnings. And specifically earnings outlook. Because what we are looking at the annual earnings estimates from the analysts that are covering that stock. And we don't really care what the actual rating from that analyst may be or what the actual target price from that analyst may be. If we see that the analyst is changing his or her estimates, that's the important factor for us as far as the Zacks rank is concerned. The Zacks rank is totally oblivious to the analyst's recommendation or target price. It's totally oblivious to all other traditional stock rating schemes, be they valuation, momentum, or whatever that may be. It's only concerned about what's happening to estimates for the stock.
Now, what about the people who think that the analysts don't know anything? You know, the ones, I get this question a lot too. Like, I explain that it's based on the analyst estimates, and they come back to me with like, the analysts are all crap anyways, and they don't know what they're doing with those estimates anyway. But doesn't the Zacks rank kind of allow for that, because it takes the accumulation of all of those estimates? And, you know, if you have 10 estimates on a stock, then it's taking the average of all of them.
Having been on the sell side myself, what I know from how the analysts work is that the most time and energy they spend is on building their earnings models. And analysts are not famous for pointing out the turning points. Their recommendations may be tarnished by investment banking associations or all the other inherent problems in the industry, but the estimates are the one factor that they use their best judgment on in coming out with estimating in earnings and a revenue projection. And for us, it's the earnings. And you're absolutely right. It's not the estimate from one individual analyst. All the analysts whose estimates are publicly available and are in our model, they're all included in that. And it's the sum total of that, how the aggregate, that estimate for the consensus estimate, then the Zacks consensus estimate for a particular stock is moving up, down, or not changing at all, which is driving the Zacks rank. So you're absolutely right. It's not just one estimate from one analyst, one brokerage firm. It's the sum total of all of them that at a point in time, and we are looking at it on a daily basis. So overnight, all the estimates come into our database, and the model runs overnight, taking into account the new estimates that have come overnight, and comes out with a new list every day.
Yeah, I think it's important to note, like you're talking about one of the key components, which is like the agreement of the analysts. So, you know, you might have those 10 analysts. If five are raising their estimates, five are lowering them, there's no real agreement that's there, right. But you get many cases where all 10 of them are either lowering or raising, and that's really going to move the rank.
So it's probably a good stage to just briefly touch on the building blocks of the ZEX rank. You mentioned agreement, which is a very important factor. There are three others. Magnitude is one. Magnitude is basically, in simple terms, the magnitude of the estimate change. What percentage change has
so
it been?
Would that be, let's say it's a dollar and the analysts, you know, the consensus rises to $1.25. That would be a big change in the
That's
magnitude
a big change.
Then. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So the there's the magnitude, there's the agreement. Agreement, as you mentioned, is the extent of unanimity or otherwise between all the covering analysts. So you mentioned there's 10 analysts, 5 raise their estimates, 5 lower their estimates. There's no directional thrust in the change in estimates. But if 5 of the 10 change estimates, and all of those 5 changes are in one direction, positive or negative, then there is a lot of agreement, and that has a big bearing on the ZEX ring. The other two factors, one is upside, and upside is basically the difference between what our model considers to be the most accurate estimate and the ZEX consensus. So the upside that could be positive, could be negative. And then there is surprise. Surprise is quite obvious what the stock has done in recent quarters. A company typically coming out with surprise, positive surprise, one could reasonably expect that that's what they will do in future quarters too. So it's those four factors of four ways in which we look at changes to estimates that are the only drivers of the ZEX rank.
Now, because we're tabulating all these changes in the consensus, that has to be one of the reasons why it's a short-term recommendation.
Absolutely.
It's only 1 to 3 months because those analysts are continually updating their models.
That's right. The key insight for how changes to estimates, or trends in estimate revisions, as we call it in our literature, came from an academic paper that the ZEX founder, Len ZEX, while he was at MIT, he wrote that in the mid-70s. And the basic idea in simple terms was that estimate revisions have a bearing on short-term stock prices. And the impact or the influence of estimate revisions is the strongest through the next 3 months. And that's what the holding horizon for the ZEX rank is too. The ZEX rank is the strongest for a 1 to 3 months holding period. So it is a fairly short-term stock picking tool.
Yeah, I always warn people who are longer-term investors like I am, that you can use the rank,
sure.
You can use it to do your research and all of that, but on a longer time period, obviously the rank is going to fluctuate.
That's right.
And go all over the place. So, and then there's a few little quirks to it if
Absolutely.
You do use it for the longer
Absolutely.
Term.
And we have plenty of literature on that. We have as your trading service and services are.
Yeah, the value investor.
We have a number of others that rely on the ZEX rank for long-term investing. So it's very useful for active traders, but long-term investors could absolutely use it and be successful as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about some stocks, because
sure.
Then I feel like we'll get some of the, you know, kind of more unique scenarios
Absolutely.
In there when we talk about some actual examples. So one of the ones that I got a lot of questions on StockTwits about the rank was iChor Holdings. ICHR is the ticker. They're in the semiconductor industry. This has been a real hot stock because it's in the semis. And this was a number one at the end of June. And then it went to a 3, but then quickly to a 4 because, as you talked about, the rank can change every day. So suddenly it was a 4, and that's when I got all the tweets about it. Like, why is this a 4? Tracy, what's happening? And then it went back to a 3. Now it's a number 1. I'm assuming it reported earnings and all that stuff, and that's why.
You said ICHR.
But this is one of the ones, Shiraz, we occasionally see this with the rank, where it can be a one or even a two, and then it suddenly plunges down to a four, or sometimes I've seen a five even, but that's kind of rare. But occasionally it'll go all the way from a one to a five in one day. And it's not, when you look at the estimates, you don't see them being cut or they haven't reported, like nothing has happened. So sometimes I know that there's just like a little quirk in the system. Absolutely. Occasionally.
So one of the things that your listeners should get used to is that on the Zacks.com quote pages, under the Zacks research tab on the left side on those quote pages, there is this one tab called detailed estimates. And in the detailed estimates page, you could see the individual elements that we discussed earlier, the magnitude agreement, upside and surprise. And if I look at that for this stock, there's a number of things to be mindful of. Like one of the things is that there are two estimates for this year and next. If I look at the estimate changes, this stock, by the way, is currently Zacks ranked number one. So I'm showing that it's $2.42 is the Zacks consensus estimate for this year. A month ago, 30 days ago, this estimate was $2.06. Similarly, for next year, for 2018, it's $2.85 now. It was $2.35. So very strong change to estimates. If we look at the agreement, all the estimate changes are in one direction. So estimates have only gone up. And this explains why the stock is a number one. But stepping back from this stock to the general point of why the rank may change at any point in time, as I mentioned earlier, it's a daily refresh process. So our database, all the estimate changes, the overnight that have come, the model runs overnight and spits out these ranks. And then you have to be mindful that it's a relative rank. So all the 4,000 plus stocks that Tracy was referring to earlier, the stocks with the best estimate revision attributes, the top 5% of those will be assigned a Zacks rank of number one. The next 15% best attributes for positive revisions will be assigned a Zacks rank number two. And similarly, down the bottom worst 5% will be assigned a Zacks rank number five. So it's the why this stock, for example, could move to a number three. It's number one now. It's in the top 5% as of today. But if there's a host of other stocks whose estimates have changed even better than this, then there simply will not be enough space in the top 5% of the bucket. So the others, which otherwise look pretty good, but are not the best as the Zacks rank number ones are, they will fall to a Zacks rank number two or maybe even a number three if there is not enough of a directional thrust. So it's relative. It's relative to the entire universe of stocks that the model is looking at that point in time. It's a bell curve distribution, an even amount in the Zacks rank number one, number two, and the same amount at rank number four and number five. And that's a big difference in the Zacks ranks relative to a standard issue brokerage firm. The brokerage firms typically will have a disproportionate number of buys or strong buys in a very small number of sells or strong sells. For us, it's pretty much equivalent on any given day. The number of buys and number of sells are roughly about the same.
Yeah, I think that's also another reason people get mad at us, because we have a lot of sells.
That's right.
Okay, so I did want to bring up a point with this. iChor Holdings is a small cap. It only has a market cap of like $500 million. It does have, we have three estimates for it for this year. That's a lot for a small cap. But how does that play into it too? Because I see a lot of the small caps, they have, well, let's talk about one. It's actually not a small cap, but some of the foreign stocks also have fewer earnings estimates.
Right.
So Tencent, which is ticker TCEHY, it's a funny one. I ran across this because I recently covered it because it has the Zacks number one rank. I wrote about it as a rank buy, but when I looked at the detailed estimates and looked at what was going on with its earnings estimates after it just reported a great quarter, I see that we only have one estimate on here, even though this is a big That's mega right. cap, but That's it's
right.
foreign.
That's right.
So how does that play into it too, when you only have maybe one or two estimates?
So we are not, maybe the powers that be will not be happy with us to point out the weaknesses of the Zacks rank, but perhaps in the interest of fairness, we should point it out that the Zacks rank will produce a more useful and more stable rating scheme if you have about three estimates or more.
Okay.
So, with an estimate pool that's comprised of just one estimate, you're totally reliant on that one guy. If their estimates are going up or down, it'll fundamentally be unstable. Yeah. It'll be more jumpy, and will change a lot. There are plenty of problems with ADRs in foreign companies.
Right.
Estimates could change because the one analyst in this case, for example, but even if you had three analysts for an ADR, they may be adjusting their estimates simply to reflect the foreign exchange
right,
changes.
Yeah.
And there may not be anything fundamental that may have changed with the company. So it's the ideal candidate for the Zacks rank is a company that has some following, and it's preferably a U.S.-based company, and has no foreign exchange translation issues as you would with a Tencent, for example. That's an entirely China-based. I believe it's kind of like a fund which holds stakes in a whole bunch of Chinese companies, and so the estimates for that will fluctuate a lot. If you had three estimates here, I would still be a little wary how much I could rely on the Zacks rank for this stock. But with one estimate, it's definitely, you have to take it with a lot of caution.
Okay, so that's definitely something good to keep in mind. Let's look at one of those bigger U.S.-based companies that has a lot more earnings estimates, Amazon.
Sure.
Because Amazon, its rank has not been good. Even across most of this year, it was the number five in January and February, and then, you know, it went back to a number three for a while, then it dropped to a four again at the end of June, and now it's a five, strong sell again in July and August here. But I think if anyone is looking at these detailed estimates, it's pretty clear why with this
Absolutely.
One.
So what I'm looking at is that we have 14 estimates, EPS estimates for this year, 14 for next year, and estimates have overwhelmingly come down. $3.90 for this year, which is down from $6.44 a month ago.
That's
for
huge.
Next year, it's $8.43, which is down from $11.31. I think the only way someone interested in the Amazon stock could rationalize why a hot stock or an in the news stock, we could put a strong sell on it, is the model doesn't care how big the stock
right.
is, how popular the stock is, and how much the stock may have gone up, and how much momentum maybe in the stock price already. As we mentioned earlier, the Zacks model and the Zacks rank, as a result, cares about only and only one factor, and that is the trends and estimate revision. This is actually a pretty beautiful and well put rating on this stock. The estimates have come down and have overwhelmingly come down, mm-hmm. and there is a lot of unanimity among the analysts covering the stock. So for someone that has a high opinion of the stock, I guess the question they should be mindful of is that a stock like Amazon doesn't trade on EPS estimates.
Right, right.
The Amazon fan club doesn't care what PE the stock trades at, whether the company is making money or losing money. It's all about growth. It's all about market share. They're just waiting for the day when Amazon will take over the world. And I guess the stock price reflects that. The Zacks rank could defy that worldview as much as it like, but the stock won't respond to that.
Okay, let's look at another one that I feel is pretty obvious why it has the rank it has, but it's Oclaro Inc., OCLR. They sell optical components. This one was a number three for a couple of months. Then it dropped to a number four this August. But if you take a look at those estimates, I feel like it's pretty clear why that one has dropped down.
Yes. So we have, I'm showing on the detailed estimates page, eight estimates for this year, five for next year. It's currently 73 cents. For this fiscal year, which is down from 72 cents a month ago. For next year, it's 78 cents, was 82 cents a month ago. And it's relatively mixed for this year, meaning some estimates have gone up, some have come down. Estimates for next year have overwhelmingly come down. And it all comes down to that relative distribution. On any given day, you can think of the Zacks model as lining up all of the 4,000, 4,500 stocks that are within its coverage on any given day, and just picking the bottom 5% of the stocks that has the weakest earnings outlook and assigning them a Zacks rank number five rank, and taking the stocks with the best earnings outlook, the top 5% of the best stocks, and assigning them a Zacks rank number one. And some of those stocks, which comes to about 200, 250 stocks on any given day, some of those will remain Zacks rank number one the following day. But it's a limited, coveted space. When the model runs tomorrow, some on the margin may lose that spot and move to a Zacks rank number two or maybe even number three. If there are other stocks that have come overnight whose estimates are even better or even worse than what we have on the list today.
This one kind of brings up a good question about when does the model start looking at the next year's estimates over this year's? Because we're already in August now and we're, recording this. So this is in the second half of the year. Is it already looking at next year's estimates then?
It's a blend. The exact parameters of the model are in the black box.
Okay.
So it's the that's the secret sauce,
right,
of the Colonel's recipe. But it's fair to assume that the weightage that it gives to the next fiscal year increases as we move into the second half of every year.
Okay.
But at any point in time, at the beginning, there's more weightage to the current fiscal year. And as we move further ahead, its weightage reduces and the next year's weightage increases. But it's all annual estimates.
Okay.
It's not the quarterly estimates. Sometimes the quarterly estimates and the annual estimates will change in sync with each other, but not always. You will find instances where the quarterly estimates and the annual estimates may not change in the same direction. But the model looks at only the annual estimates.
Okay, that's good to know. Another interesting example that is floating out there that I've gotten some questions about is Applied Optoelectronics. This is a real hot stock right now. It's AAOI. And this is actually Zacks number one right now. But the stock itself has gone the other way. It's down 40%. But if you just look at the estimate data and you can see why it's been a number one. In fact, I think it's been a number one for like a year now. That seems like
that's
it
impressive.
Basically been holding on to that number one or number two, but I've seen a lot of number ones for this one over the course of most of the year. And when I looked at the estimates, you know, if you're just looking at the stock, if you're looking beyond that, you'd be like, wow, this is down really big. Something must be going on. How can they have it as a number one rank? So this is kind of the opposite discussion of how can they have it as a number five when it's doing well? How can they have it as a number one when it's not doing well? And you can see some of the background with this one is that there are some sells from analysts on it now, because they're concerned about their three biggest customers are Amazon, Facebook, and Microsoft on the data center side. And they're switching over technologies right now from this 40G to the 100G. But the analysts, from what I can see, even, you know, going forward, are seeing that that transition isn't going to hurt the earnings, at least not yet. But isn't this part of, this is one of the quirks of the Zacks rank too, because Absolutely. We are relying on the analyst's Absolutely. Model to get it right.
So the Zacks rank, unlike a very well-informed analyst, for example, who is an expert in a stock and an expert in an industry, and could absolutely put you in a stock at the bottom of the stock cycle, the Zacks rank will never do that. The Zacks rank will pick a stock only after the trend has gotten underway.
Yeah, I think this is a good point to point out, because I get this a lot, and I got it on the energy stocks a lot.
Absolutely.
When the oil started plunging down,
That's right.
the estimates didn't change that much, so That's we right. still had high ranks on a lot of the oil stocks, and people are like, they're plunging, why is it still a
That's
one or
right.
a two?
We are, the model is kind of a second derivative or a reactive tool, and since it relies on estimates from the sell side analysts, and the sell side analysts could be slow to changing their estimates in response to a macro change. For example, you mentioned the oil price. The oil price is dropping. Analysts may not agree with it, may be slow to bring their estimates in line with what's happening to estimates. And as a result, our rank will be slow to acknowledge those turning points in the macro story, whether it's in a commodity or in an industry's earnings cycle. So we will miss the initial move, whether it's to the upside or to the downside. But once the analysts catch up with the macro trend, then the Zacks rank catches up with that too. So it's a quirk, it's a yeah. weakness, it's a flaw, but that's we understand it. As long as you understand it, that the Zacks rank will not be putting you in a stock at the bottom of its cycle, or not be letting you or helping you get out of a stock at the peak of its
right.
It's never going to do that,
right? Because by the time the analysts are cutting the estimates, if something goes, you know, quote wrong,
that's right.
Yeah, it's the stock's already down.
That's
by
right.
The time there.
So and then there is this other factor too, that since it's a solely earnings centric model, and there are stocks out there which trained on factors other than earnings. So I'm not sure about this stock that you mentioned earlier, AAOI.
Yeah.
But many stocks, Amazon included,
right.
Facebook, Google, all of these other hot stocks. It's about their market share. It's about their revenue growth. Amazon has never cared for margins. They are so focused on dominating a particular industry when they enter it that they don't care if they make money on it. And the stock could be trading just primarily on market share gains, on revenue gains. Not sure if that's the case in this case. But if the analysts are slow to see what's happening to its end market or the few customers that it has, and our model doesn't reflect whatever changes may come to those estimates, then our rank could be behind the curve on a particular stock as well.
Yeah.
But the wide majority of stocks at any point in time are in a stable trend. And for those stocks that are in a stable trend, which are not undergoing turning points or inflection points, for those, the estimate changes do reflect the underlying fundamentals of those stocks. And
right.
the Zacks rank tells the story for all of those companies, which is the predominant majority at any point in time.
Yeah, that's why I do like to use it, because there's a lot of companies that aren't on the radar, like the ones we were just discussing, like Amazon's right. of the world, where, they might have beat and raised this last earnings quarter and you don't really hear about it and you don't know, but the Zacks Rank will drive down to help you find the Absolutely. Companies that are doing things like that.
I want to point out, way back, there was a video that Steve Reitmeister did. It was an interesting video about the Zacks Rank. He said that the Zacks Rank is wrong 44% of the time.
Right.
And it was a strange thing for us to be pointing out the weaknesses of the model. But the big point from that is that the model, we know it has a very impressive and consistent performance track record over the years, but it is only right 54-55% of the time.
Right.
So it will miss some stocks. It will produce a Zacks Rank number one or number two at times wrong.
Yeah.
But if you are consistently following it, you will be coming out ahead better than most and better than the market as a whole.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so this is a really good discussion, and I hope it's useful to a lot of people who see the Zacks Rank out there when they're on StockTwits or, just researching stocks and didn't know what it was. And I definitely, tell people to go to Zacks.com and look at those detailed estimates, because that is a wealth of information there. It gives you the estimate revisions. It gives you the consensus estimate trends right there. I also tweet out a lot of the earnings surprise charts. That's where we get all this data, is in those charts, and the price and consensus charts, where you can see where the earnings over the last 5 years are, what the trends in those have been. And that is also a useful stock picking tool too, if you're interested in rising earnings.
It's probably useful to point out, Tracy, that the ability and the access to all the stuff that we discussed does not require people to be subscribers.
I know. Yeah.
They can use the estimate changes and the trends and the constituent parts of the Zacks Rank for a particular stock on Zacks.com for free.
I know. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, people should check that out. Remember, just put in the ticker and you can get this wealth of information. So let me recap the tickers we did talk about today. We talked about iChor Holdings, ICHR is that one, Oclaro, OCLR, Amazon, AMZN, Tencent, TCEHY, and Applied Opto, which is AAOI. And if I butchered any of those names, you can tweet at me, because I do it. So this is a good discussion. We'll have to have you on again, Shiraz, to discuss more on the Zacks Rank, because I feel like we didn't even really cover everything. But if you have any other questions, be sure to send them to me at podcast@zacks.com. I like hearing from you, and your suggestions on future episodes is also great, or you can tweet at me as well. I'm on StockTwits at my name, at Tracy Reinick. And you can listen to all of our other podcasts on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe over there, or on SoundCloud, as they're still in business and we're still on that platform as well. And until next time, I'll see you then.